Welcome to the Minority Report with your hosts, Isaiah, Terrence, and Damon. And now, over to you, Isaiah.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to episode 6 of the Minority Report. We are just finished up with Adepticon, and we have KingdomCon right around the corner. So, before we jump into KingdomCon, how was everyone's time at Adepticon? Damon?
I had a blast, man. If you haven't listened to episode 5, where we were us hardworking, dedicated podcasters and gamers was live at Adepticon, you need do yourself a favor and listen to it. We actually had William Hungerford and Travis Merge, my boys, on, man. That was a blast. I did pretty good in the tournaments. Spent a lot of money that I probably shouldn't have spent. And I got to hang out with my two bro-hams. So I had a great time. What about you, Terrence?
I mean, I had a blast. I mean, even though I got left out of the William Hungerford interview.
Here we go.
Purposely got left out of the William Hungerford interview.
Whoa. That was not purposely.
I'm going to stick with purposely got left out of the William Hungerford interview. It was nice to see that Will stuck up for me. He was looking out for a brother, so I appreciate that. I really love the Travis interview, man. I love talking to Travis. Travis is a super cool dude, and just to see them kind of immortalize him with the theme force and everything, I think it's nobody else in the community that's more deserving of it.
Absolutely.
I agree.
Got to remember, yeah, guys, we made a promise a couple of podcasts ago about making a certain person a certain t-shirt, and we need to move on that. Gen Con will be here before we know it.
Definitely. But also to piggyback on what Damon said, we will get Pagani on here one of these days. We'll get Pagani on here.
I'm actually going to message him right now. Watch this.
Hey, we're super cool people. It probably won't be that hard.
Might as well just get all the wheels at once, you know, call it a day. Now that's a project, guys. I mean, that will be soon, but we'll work on that. So, for anyone who don't know, Adepticon is a convention in Schaumburg, Illinois. It is a pretty cheap convention. It's not that big, but the big thing about playing at Adepticon is you play it painted. It's all about showing off those cool colors, those cool paint schemes you got. Even if you don't really paint, you can take tons of classes. I mean, there's some great classes you can take for beginners, intermediate, advanced, airbrushing, brushwork. There's tons. Also, the really cool stuff that I like is the crystal brush painters that show off their armies. Also, people like modding their different types of armies on broad, I would say, tables with different effects. You know, also, Terrence, you were shown for your armies, right?
I got asked to put my army on parade. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to. Jeff Olson asked me, but me and Damon ended up leaving midday Saturday, and the Army's on parade was Saturday evening. So unfortunately, I wasn't able to do it, but hopefully I'll get to do it next time.
Yeah, there was some beautiful armies from all different games. Shout out to Agatha for her beautiful, beautiful Mon Pok minis that were showing off.
Dude, shout out to Agatha for being just an awesome person, man. That is my new Mon Pok hero, by the way. Thank you, Aggie. You were great.
And one day I will get that Mon Pok demo from her.
Absolutely.
Hey, man, Travis is an amazing man. I mean, he whipped you from the start of that game to the end of the game, from what I heard.
Terrence, first of all, listen. What we're not going to do is fall past, you know, get rumors out into and start an uproar. Travis is a great guy who did become victorious in a game of Mon Pok at like midnight. And that's all we're going to say.
You slipped those couple excuses in there. Like it was midnight and he's a Mon Pok player. You know, you just try to make all these. So you had to back up for next time. But hey, man, look, we all lose. But sometimes we even lose badly. So that's okay.
Really? That's what you know what?
There's that tough love.
if this rumor is true, if this really did happen, and I'm not saying if it did or did not, I couldn't have been table stumped by a better person than Travis. I'm just going to say that for the record.
I mean, it happened.
Only
thing I'm saying is this. The man made you literally go buy another building. So you had two.
Wow. One, shout out to Travis for allowing us to run events until midnight. So I do want to give him that shout out.
Absolutely.
Also, I think I also broke Travis on Saturday by mistake, which I haven't told anyone about, but I kind of broke him by mistake. This happened during the team event. It was round two. We finished the game. We went to Travis to report it. So Travis, you know, asked usual questions. All right, what team won? Our opponents won that game. He asked our opponent, you know, how many victory points they had. They said two. How many points did destroy it? I think it was like 65. He looked at me and says, all right, how many victory points did you have? I said seven. He stopped and looked at me. He was like, your opponent has two victory points and you have seven victory points. Yeah, you know, Travis, you know, it's one of those things where both casters were destroyed. We still score at the end of the turn. We got to seven. He says, okay, how many points destroyed do you have? Three. And he was just done. He had to walk away from the table for like 10 minutes.
Hey, man, we report crazy games. I guess that's, that can't happen.
It happened. I will admit that we kind of, it didn't go well that game for us. We had fun, though. Don't get me wrong. Just Travis just looked at us. He says, walk away. Don't come back. I was like, I'm sorry.
You got kicked out of Adepticon team tournament.
No, we didn't get kicked out, but he would just go away from the table. Just, how did you lose? I was like, look, Travis, it happens.
I'm still going to stick with the, like, I'm just like Terrence. I'm going to stick to rumors. Isaiah was kicked out of the team tournament at Adepticon. It's just terrible.
First time for everything.
I didn't stick to rumors. It was a fact that you bought another Mount Terra.
I did point it, and honestly, if you ask me, it's probably one of the best painted Mount Terras ever, man. It's a hot spring. I posted on a Minority Report page, I believe. Got a lot of love for it, you know. You're welcome.
Right. So now that Adepticon's over, we got Kingdom Con coming. I don't have much experience, but Terrence, you know, this is kind of your bay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm leaving Friday out Wednesday. This will be my first Kingdom Con, so looking forward to it. Tyson always puts on the great con, so he runs LVO as well, so I'm just looking forward to it. I know it's going to be great.
Now, I don't know much about it. Is it like just a War Machine event? Is it miniatures, media? What kind of con is it?
I think it's miniatures, board games. It's a little bit of some of everything, right? I think it's kind of I'm trying to think. It's maybe kind of like LVO, but going along the same lines, LVO, or maybe even a smaller,
like a smaller Gen Con?
Yeah, like a smaller Gen Con.
Okay, that sounds interesting. Maybe something we can try next year we all go to, but I know you're talking about might be the last year for Kingdom Con.
Yeah, I heard that rumor. I heard that rumor somewhere. I don't know if it's true, but there's a possibility that this may be the last one unless somebody else picks it up.
Okay. Well, I mean, we'll have to keep our eye on that, and we hope it's not the last year. You know, we always want more cons to show off our War Machine skills at, or just go to have fun, because I like going to cons, just, you know, get out of the state, see new things, try meet new people. You know, something else we can do as a group.
Cons are awesome.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I kind of, and I think this is kind of a weird thing, right? But I'm going to suggest that a lot of people get out of your typical cons, right? So when I went to LVO this year, it was really an eye-opening experience to, like, how the game is played, right? I think at its core, the Midwest plays the game slightly different than the other coasts do, right? So
agreed.
So you get a chance to go out to these other contests on the coast. You just get to see different lists, the way different people are playing your faction or different factions, which just gives you a different aspect of the way the game is played.
Yeah, that's something I definitely want to do more. I mean, I usually stick within the central Midwest area, mostly because of money and everything else, but I may plan to do at least one coast convention a year, just save up for it, go, and, you know, just try to have fun with that. That sounds a lot of fun.
Hey, what I hear for 2019-20, right, I think we should all, the three of us, the brothers of Minority Report, rent an RV and go to some cons. We can even get that bad boy wrapped in Minority Report. See, I have such great ideas. Tears, you're such a hater. I swear.
Dude, I'm not getting on no doggone RV. I'm out.
Dude, why? Well, you know what? Why me and Isaiah would drive, and you just fly wherever we go. We'll tell you where to be. We didn't want you in there anyway. But it's all good.
I mean, I'll fly.
Oh, wow. Now I'm in RV by myself. Oh, wow.
Nah, don't worry. I'll definitely join you. I mean, we can either road trip, fly. I mean, I enjoy traveling. So my options are fully available. All right. So with that, something interesting was posted today. Travis put up the information for the Infernos coming out in July. We now have confirmation of an army box, which, you know, all the manufacturers usually get. But the contents of what it is, it's a $200 army box. It's a 35-point army. It comes with, let's see here, one Umbral Guardian, a Laminar, one of the Light Horrors, Warjacks or Warbeasts for people who may not be up to date with the Infernal stuff, a unit of Cultists with their weapon attachments, a Shrieker, another Light Horror. Looks like we got one of the character command attachments. The Griever Swarm, which is the Ilocyte ranged unit. We have Zadaroth, the Weaver Shadows, as the Infernal Master, Warcaster, Warlock. And then we have the Heavy of the Desolator that is in this army box for $200, which is actually a pretty good price. Seeing as how this limited faction is actually super limited, where there's only three casters, quote unquote, like five horrors, three units, and then a bunch of character solos, and that's really about it for this year's faction. So
Those models look incredible, by the way. Like, they phenomenal.
I was not prepared. I'm not even gonna lie. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I love PP models. But when Travis posted the pictures today, I was floored.
And they also look like they might be, like, plastic.
I think they are. Like, based on the render, they look really, really good. The Umbral Guardian is my favorite so far.
Yeah, the faction now, it's starting to come together. I mean, it's looking really good. And that battle box looks great.
Yeah, that looks good. I'm curious if it's worth buying two of the army box. Like, I remember when my roommate bought Crispy Garby. Mathed out if buying two boxes was worth it, and it was. I think it might be the same, because I think the only duplicates would be the caster attachment and the master. But everything else you can double up on. So
I'm just looking so forward to seeing them on the table, to be honest with you. I know we have a local player, Tyler Maxwell from Cookville, who's been using proxy bases playing the army. he was excited the first week, of course, like every Inferno player was, right? Then the second week, was like, oh, air out of balloon. But I give it to him. He's holding faith that, you know, Privateer Press will, you know, have it somewhere in the middle and have a good balanced fashion. But I'm telling you, I just can't wait to see it. A well-painted Inferno army is just going to be probably one of the best-looking armies in Privateer Press stock.
Definitely. The only thing I don't know is how many of the horrors to buy because, you know, the summoning mechanic. So, you know, you'll start with, you know, your battle group or whatever else you pay for, and then you get to summon more. But, you know, depending on what you're fighting, you'll be changing it up. So trying to decide if I do buy into it outside of the army box, how many of the war beasts do I actually need to pick up? Makes it kind of a...
I've always followed the general rule of two, right? Is that when you first go into faction, if you're looking to see how many of any particular war beast you should buy, you start off with that. Unless it's a specialty, if it's a special, unique war beast that you know that you only gonna have one of, then you just buy one. But my general rule has been two. Unless you start off with two, and then unless some list that you come up with later on has you to buy a larger number of that, then you kind of base it off there.
And I completely agree. My only thing is like, so let's just take the Desolator. So you start with two Desolators. First turn, I can summon a third Desolator just right then and there. So I need another Desolator just for three, and that third one I didn't pay for. So it's just a free one I get to put into play. That's the only kind of weird thought process I'm having.
I can see that. But I mean, I think one of the things that this faction is going to really require that you do is really do some testing and matches and look at it as you start playing the faction, start figuring out, hey, these beasts are good in these situations, right? And then you can kind of feel out what beasts you need to buy extra of, right?
Right, I agree. Yeah, this might be one of where three might be the magic number, I feel. But once the rules come out, you know, we can start officially testing, you know, what the official rules would be, and then figuring out thought process, you know, list ideas. I think then we can start narrowing down what we really need. So I agree with you. But here's the question, though, and we had this talk in one of our earlier podcasts. Damon, am I painting these guys purple? Are we doing the royal colors?
Are we doing the royal colors for these?
Absolutely. Terrence, shut up. Yes, we're going to paint these things purple. Terrence, be quiet. You were hating on the purple last time, so I'm not going to have your negativity seeping through and changing Isaiah's mind. Purple Isaiah, purple.
I just like the black and red type look to them. I saw some black and red like renderings of them, so this seems kind of cool to me.
I mean, I'm not going to lie, that wouldn't be a bad color scheme. I also like the idea of a black and blue.
Well, I don't want to do black and red only because my Scorn is already black and red with gold. So I don't want to double up on that paint scheme again. So I think the royal colors will be pretty cool. I just got to figure out skin tone on the horrors. That would have to be my main thing.
Maybe like a gray. I love gray. And the fact that there's so much texture to those models, the grays that you could do on there, man, that could really leave a lot of room for some inking and washing to really make those models pop to a whole nother level.
Okay. All right. Well, that'll be the game plan right now. If I pick up Infernos when they first come out, I may wait a little bit depending on money, but it's definitely on the table ready for me to go. So I'm super hyped for Infernos.
I'll be honest. I remember, once again, Isaiah, going back to the episode where we first talked about him, and the question was asked, Damon, are you going to pick? And I don't even think I let you get it out. And I said, no. And we shared a laugh. But after seeing those models today, man, I might have lied.
Dude, I wouldn't be mad at you.
I mean, they're gorgeous, man. I would have never imagined. Great job, PP.
Definitely. Terrence, you want another faction?
No. I'll play with Damon.
Well, like Isaiah said, man, you might want to wait. People, I mean, I think the skill cap on that army is going to be pretty high. So we'll see. See what shakes out.
I definitely agree with that. All right. Well, now that we've gotten all of our convention stuff out of the way, let's get into our main topic, our podcast caster challenge. So for our listeners, if you guys remember, our episode before Depthicon, I issued a challenge pretty much to all of us where we take two casters that, you know, we kind of vetoed and agree to play, and we're going to make a list with each of those casters and then pick a caster, and we're going to play those in Steamrollers and one convention event via a Champions or a Masters if, you know, the caster applies. And I think we actually decided that we're going to, for our convention challenge, we're actually going to do Gen Con Masters. Is that right, guys?
We said Gen Con, not Gen Con Masters.
Well, I mean, yes, we said Gen Con. So Masters, Champions, however you're going to do it.
Right. Well, like, I mean, depending on if the caster is allowed in it.
Exactly. You see Terrence already, he's already rules luring you.
I know, right?
The man said G-Con, and every time we talk about this, it seems like the rules are getting bigger and bigger.
Well, I remember that when we talked about it, we were like, you know, all three of us can play in one event. And, like, I mentioned Masters only because it's, you know, every caster, not limited via Champions. That was my thought. But I apologize, Terrence. Don't beat me. I'm sorry.
Hey, look, it's time for some payback anyway. Y'all was pretty brutal to me, and then we were hungry for it, so I gotta get mine back in where I can.
First of all,
we weren't brutal. We were honest. There's a difference. And secondly,
I was honestly savage.
You were. You really were.
I would definitely take that crown.
So we were talking about the Picasso challenge, and I did want us, you know, to kind of, you know, Damon, why don't you tell us about your recent experience with your caster that you played in?
How you gonna do that to him, parents? How you gonna be? Hold on, I'm the savage one here. How are you gonna be savage too?
Wow, I rather not. That's between me and my God, and the person who mud stopped me with that list. No, we had a local steamroller in Cookeville, Tennessee. I was like, hey, you know what? This would be a perfect time to fulfill my obligation and put Naresh in my steamroller list, which I posted on Minority Report Facebook page. True transparency, guys, because, you know, that's what we do. I had no intentions of dropping Naresh. I was gonna one list Makeda 3 and Exalted all day. Round one, I won. Pretty good game against my buddy Brad Henderson. Against Sitnar, he was playing Sitnar with Haley 2. Don't ask me anything else. Good game. I ended up winning. Then second game, I played against Jesse Carmack, a very good player in my meta. He dropped Iona. I dropped Makeda. It was a drag, not down, drag out fight. It was a wonderful game. It really was. And he ended up squeezing out a win on me on control points with this.
Huh? I think you missed one thing, though. There, Damon. I think it's Jesse Carmack, the best player in your meta, if you ask Jesse.
Oh, wow. You know what? I'll leave that between you and Jesse.
Aaron's trying to start fights.
I'll be for like, real, man. Why are you trying to start dropping my like, meta?
Jesse, if you want to jump on this podcast and just take him out, you're more than welcome.
I should call him right now and be like, hey, let me tell you what Terrence said. And I know you have a lot of words, but we don't got time for that tonight. But Terrence, shut up. Stop being evil. Stop being mean. I mean, for real, you need a hug. Yes, you need a hug.
I'm just trying to say facts.
Okay, the question is, Terrence, are you the best person in your meta?
Yes.
Person in this meta.
Yes, I am. Because I'm the only person in my meta.
Oh, well done, Isaiah. Well done. So I end up losing a tight game to Jesse. He ends up beating me by control points with 3 seconds left on his clock. So I'm like, okay, it's a small tournament. I knew we were going to have three rounds. So I'm playing against a good buddy of mine, Jason Chaffin, one of the nicest guys. He is actually, I would consider him an honorary Revenant crew member. He's pretty much been doing everything of a press ganger, and was attempting to become one right before they discontinued the program. And he was playing men off. I'm like, you know what? Let's go ahead and do this. You know, let's take one for the team. At least I can say I played this dude, and we can talk about it on the podcast. And then I started playing it. I'm like, I'm never going to talk about this game. Like, I have no intention. This is going into the archives of my brain, and I will never discuss this game with anyone.
Naresh is your favorite caster. It's okay. It's okay.
Absolutely. He is my favorite worst caster in this core fashion. He's terrible. I mean, I can't even, like, there's no even highlight to Naresh to me. I really didn't think I could win the game. He was playing Reclaimer, the net list, basically bashing Cinerators, Seneschal, Judicator, Choir, Gravis. I mean, it was just, oh my goodness. Oh, I tell you the highlight though, seeing a warrior or a sentinel under Naresh's feet take every shot that Adjudicator can throw at it and only take about 11, 13 points of damage was pretty awesome. Because those things get up to armor, I think 20, let's see, 19 plus 4, 23 plus 3. So armor 26 against range. So it was that was disgusting, but that was pretty much the highlight. So I mean, like I said, I'm not gonna allow you guys to torture me with too many, you know, force me to give too many details.
Questions? All right. We'll save you the savageness from this. So
thank you, Isaiah. I mean,
you could at least tell people what the list was. Those people that didn't read it online, Damon.
Well, I mean, listen.
We'll get into it.
How else will we, you know, get people to go to our Facebook page if we give them everything online, Terrence? Okay, go ahead, Jesus, Isaiah. What were you going to say?
Man. So for our listeners, what we're gonna do today, we're going to go over one of our lists. That we made. We may make some changes in the future, but you know, we designed two lists for our casters. So we're going to each go over one of our lists, talk about it, our list construction, you know, why we made the list, the choices we made. For our new players who are listening in, you know, you may get some ideas on how list construction is done. You know, take a base caster or a base ID and designing something around it. And then as for our future podcast, you know, we're going to evolve that into putting it on the table, how to utilize it best. Placing models for deployment, fighting the clock, you know, everything else. But for today, we're going to go over our list. So, Damon, I hate to do this to you. Since you already started and you already talked about Naresh, would you mind finishing it up?
No, let's rip the Band-Aid off, man. Let's see. So, the list consists of Naresh with Marketh, Warcaster Attachment, the Bronzeback Titan, a Titan Cannoneer, two Eridus Soldiers, one Eridus Sentinel, a Kray, Tyrant Zadesh with a Gladiator, a Swamp Gobbler Chef, two main units of Beast Handlers, and a Swamp Gobbler Bellows Crew. The whole premise of it is just to force these beasts down your throat. It's going to be impossible for you to shoot them off the table. So, that was the premise building the list. Now that I got to play it, it's most definitely missing. It does stay, but it's so fury high, and I'm not even sure how to fix that problem. But what I can do is make sure that the beast in the list is better serves Naresh, because Naresh really, as you know, he's an assassination threat, but that's about it. He really doesn't have anything that he can do to beef his army, at least that army. So the thought is a problem. Well, it's not a problem. I will be dropping a Cannoneer and probably replacing it with a Sentinel, which will free up some points to, I'm going to drop the Bellow Crew because they were just sent away. They were initially there to screen the Tyrants of Zadesh or Naresh himself. They just couldn't keep up. And honestly, it's just not worth it. So I'm going to drop them. I'm going to add two Swamp Gobblers. Take one Beast Handler unit up to max. Once again, better using the Escher Pain Givers so I can manage all these beasts. because the Swamp Gobblers, as you know, have comfort food, so we can remove a pain giver and allow a beast to remove fury, so he's not going to frenzy.
Can you take two?
Yeah, you can, because when you take it as your friendly model, the full allotment, so the full FA is allowed to you. So you can take two. At least that's what War Room says.
That would be incorrect. You only get one. Is it?
Yeah, well, War Room is a bug.
Well, yeah, War Room does have his bugs.
Okay, so if that's a bug, it that only ensures what I'm saying is going to happen. So that frees up a point, and I'll figure out what I'm going to do at that later.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you have an idea on how to try to make Nurash work. So hopefully it works out for you.
Well, I tell you, I wasn't going to mention this, but I do have a second list that I'm working on with Nurash right now. And I'm for the sure pleasure of it, I am so excited about this list. And I probably play this sooner than later, which is 2 Bronze Bats, 3 Gladiators, a Rhinodon, 2 Kreas, an Agonizer, a Willbreaker. And right now, you know, thanks for pointing this out, guys, I have 2 Swamp Gobblers and 2 main units of Beast Handlers, which I'll probably get rid of both. Well, I will get rid of both the Swamp Gobblers and probably add a Feralgeist.
I like that.
Yeah, and so the whole idea of that, I mean, that's armor 19s with Kraze. That's armor 22s. I can push up the board Agonizers there to, you know, the run up and maintain that gnawing pain bubble, so whatever's jamming can stay there a little bit longer. 2 Bronze Bats going to make the fury management a lot more, you know, a lot better. And then the Rhinodon is basically, that's my alpha. He's the fastest. He's speed 5. Have plenty of beasts with rush, so at the very least, they can even be the support, which is hilarious thinking of a Gladiator, 3 Gladiators support. I think this one will play a lot better. But, you know, we shall see.
Okay. Well, Terrence, you got a list you want to talk about?
I sure do, Isaiah. So, my 2 casters was Krios 3 and Malekith. So, I decided my first list, I really wanted to go with Malekith. Surprisingly enough, I was in a post, I think either today or yesterday, on the Protector of the Menoth forums, right, talking about Malekith's Jack, Eye of Truth, and just a little.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, just my 2 cents, I posted this on the forum, but I think Eye of Truth is a really good Jack. What he does is pretty amazing. I think, in a sense, he may be slightly overcosted for what he does, but the biggest downfall is just the fact he's not in the themes, right? And that the only person that can bring him is Malekith.
Yeah, that's right now it's a detriment for a lot of characters.
Yeah.
Those who don't have a theme. And that's, you know, something that we have to hope gets rectified in the future. But that's, you know, something a lot of us are waiting for.
Yeah. So my list is Malekith. So I wanted to go with, I wanted to play him in Champions. So I picked one of the 2 available Champions themes that are available now. So I don't know how well he would do with Exemplar. So I picked him. So I'm going to put him in Faithful Masses. So it's Malekith with Adjudicator, 2 Champions of the Order of the Wall, the Covenant of Menoth, Hand of Silence, Villamon, 2 units of Indrian Skirmishers with UAs, 2 Initiates of the Order of the Wall, and a Men Choir. So the premise behind the list is there are a couple of fire rolls, or fire attacks in there. The lances on the champions could cause continuous fire. The Judicator has the sprays. Hand of Silence has a spray. But the biggest thing is that the Covenant of Menoth can give any model or unit continuous fire attacks on their continuous fires on their melee range attacks. So what that's going to allow me to do is move the fire around when I need it, but the guns are not all solely dependent upon his feet to do damage, right?
Yeah, that's great. Because, I mean, like, anyone who maybe, let's say you're fighting someone like Kallus 2, who, you know, makes the stuff immune, you don't have to worry about, sure, you can't light them on fire, but, I mean, your attacks are still going to do damage because not everything's based around dealing fire damage.
Yeah, and I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, he still has other cards on this. I mean, you could build him around just his feet, but I think his spell list is actually pretty decent, right? So you got open fire on the Judicator, which either gives you another spray or another bombard, right? Or you have ignite on Idrians. Idrians charging into their prey targets will hit a pile 16s, right? I think that's a really respectable hit. I mean, you have.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
I mean,
plus
you have
they have Pathfinder.
Yeah, so plus they have Pathfinder, it, you know, right?
And off weakness.
Yeah. So, I mean, you even have Knights, the Champions of the Order of the Wall, right? One of their big things is that they can't be targeted by spells, right? But you put Banishing Ward on them, set one on the flag. It is not many guns that can shoot them off at armor 20. And with essentially the list having 7 shield guards available to it, I just think it may have a lot more staying power that way instead of just building it purely around fire.
You know what? Thinking about it, so Malakka's feat lasts for a round, so it also applies to the continuous fire that comes on next round, right?
Correct.
So that would be an interesting drop into Iona Ravagers, because you could give the Judicator's rockets fire, shoot into both clusters of Ravagers, because they normally take units of Ravagers, light them on fire, get Malakka's up there to pop feet, and it's boosted damage. The fire can't go out, and it's dice minus 3, needing 11s to just straight kill them. I mean, sure, that seems pretty hot.
It's dice minus 3 on, but you only need, 8 on 9 feet turns to kill him?
Yeah, 8.
Yep.
Yeah, so I mean, and even then, right, even if I don't do it with my Judicator, right, the beautiful thing about the Idrians are I could get the Idrians that as well, right? So the Idrians start shooting a continuous fire, right, and they just light a bunch of dudes on fire.
Yeah, because they don't have to kill them with the shots. You may damage them for vengeance, but I mean, fire just straight kills them, which doesn't trigger rapid healing, which is also important.
And then
that list doesn't like fire.
Yeah, and then like one of the things that I own a list as a mental player, I'm always cognizant of is like Hunter's Mark, right? So I never want Hunter's Mark going out on my Judicator, but with Banishing Ward, I can put Banishing Ward on my Judicator, and then the choir can battle him every turn.
Yeah. I like that. I like that. That sounds really cool, actually. Huh. So we all know Mobagani loves his Malakas.
I'm actually impressed, Terrence. As painful as that is to say.
Hey, man, I had to say, Damon, you know, come from you, I think that's a big accolade. But as you already know this, right? In order to beat a man, you must first beat the man. So,
thank God I'm the man.
You're not the man.
Ooh. All right. Well, for my two lists, I had Jake's and Maddox. So for my Jake's list, it's something I've been testing around in Gravediggers for a while. The list will probably get some tweaks here and there, but the basis for the list right now is Jake's Silas, because I need focus management for her, because I can't take a squire, 2 Fireflies, 2 Hammersmiths, Finn, and 1 Master Gunner, 2 units of Commandos with the UAs, for Pathfinder, Stealth, Defense Mitigation, since she doesn't offer any of that herself. 2 units of the Express Teams for range support, because having ranged Thunderbolt with Grievous Wounds is really good. And then I also bring Ayana and Holt for magical weapons and for that little extra damage buff, of course, with Murdoch. So the idea with this list is feet turn with Jakes can deal with infantry pretty well, because I can also get up to power 16 Electro Leaps combined with their harm, mini feet, and the Firefly. So if I need to kill some pretty armored, decently armored stuff, I can get in there with them. The only main negative I may do some tinkering around with is making sure I keep Jakes alive. Because the list doesn't really want to see AoEs, because Judicators makes this list sad, because they'll just blow them up. I mean, I have Tough, but I don't have no knockdown Tough. So maybe something I got to fight against.
No Trenchers?
Well, the Commandos have Tough. And I do have a Rise for the theme benefit, but I'm still knocked down. So once again, if anything else can shoot them, and I make Tough again, they'll just die. So,
do you not have trencher infantry, like for Cloud Wall?
I do not.
Okay.
The reason why I don't, and once again, this isn't testing. I may bring a unit of Trenchers instead of one unit of Commandos, is for Pathfinder mitigation. Because the Jakes doesn't offer any type of defensive tech, movement tech, anything like that. Like, she doesn't help keep the army alive. She's all about pretty much being aggressive and offensive. So with the feet, of course, you know, I'm getting reach, electro leap, parry. So she's all about getting in there. And the Commandos are already, you know, pretty far up there because, you know, they have AD. The problem is that when I go all in, feet turn, positive charging, you know, I have escort up, plus bullet dodger, I'm pretty strapped for focus. So, which is why I have Silas to help, you know, a free upkeep. But I am trying to make sure that after feet turn, I'm not so far up that I'm putting her in assassination range, which I have multiple times, and I'm trying to find a good way of keeping her up the board for feet, because it's a aura feet. So, and I don't have a squire to make the bubble bigger. So I got to be more up there, but I got to make sure I'm more survivable.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, unless you go with like Trench Busters or something, right, to give her shield guards, it's still hard to keep a caster, especially a focus six caster, out of trouble sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, like she has decent defense at 16, but she's low armor at 14. So I have Hammersmith because they're slightly slower, so like I may send one up there. I was thinking about swapping out the Hammersmith for Ironclads because they're speed 5. But once again, it's a major testing process, and I definitely want to see what in the current meta I can play this against pretty well. Right now, you know, the big things are Immortals, Tharn, Judicators, which I definitely can't drop this against Judicators because this will just die to Judicators before I even get there.
I mean, one Judicator can't kill it all, but I mean, it can make some big dents.
Oh, well, the problem is that the Judicator just supports from the background with all the rockets. I still have to fight everything else in front of the Judicator. So, and that's the issue. Like, the Judicator rains multiple, like, what, we got 4 AoE 3s just coming at me every turn. And my guys are low armor, so your blast with, you know, your 3 dice is just going to just kill me.
Yeah, I can see that.
So, it's definitely something I have to test. I mean, my offlist will have to definitely be prepared to fight men off, probably. So, yeah, this is going to be my test list. So, this is my first run through with this list. I may try this in Storm Division. I know someone mentioned that earlier. I think Terrence, you mentioned me earlier this week.
Yeah. I think Storm Division, it's a pretty interesting theme for us with the lances.
Right. Yeah. You know, two units of the lances, being the super aggressive models that they are. I can take a squire, so once again, she doesn't be as far forward to get the benefits there.
And I don't know. It's just something I've been trying with my Serenia list is just what positive charge does to Cav. And it's if you can get a jack in the right spot, a light jack in the right spot with positive charge, it is freaking amazing what Cav can do to stuff.
Oh, yeah, hands down. I mean, Fireflies are Speed 6 with Escort. They're running 14 inches. So I can get them 17 inches of the board just via the run for her to apply positive charge. Or since she has Field Marshal Sprint, possibly even, you know, charge in, kill something, then sprint forward off of that. And, you know, apply even, you know, more broader range of positive charge. But I gotta make sure I can kill it, and or it doesn't tough itself, or, you know, any type of weird triggers. But I definitely want to, definitely can't wait to put it on the board and do a lot of testing. I may actually test it this week at my local store and see how it works. Probably Chuck Ellswick will probably beat me up this week.
Okay. Well, yeah, I think it's worth a shot. I mean, I wasn't a real big believer in how good positive charge was until I actually started playing as Serenia. And I know in Minoff, it does. I have been super impressed with what positive charge does. Just turning this, how it just turns something like up to 10, right? This turns it down to 11 on some stuff. Especially with Sirenia, right? You're making weapon masters that are already hit hard, hit even harder.
Oh, definitely. Well, the other bonus of positive charge, like for your jacks. Like, your jacks hit pretty decent, but now positive charge gives them that map bonus that they're looking for on top of choir. So they're getting a plus 2 to hit, plus 4 to damage. You know, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I've actually toyed around with some lists, right? Not even running choir anymore, right? It's just that positive charge does the exact same thing, and I can use that 4 point somewhere else.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you. All right, so...
Yeah.
Oh, Damon, what were you about to say?
Yeah, I was just going to, once again, the rarity of compliment Terrence twice in one night, that's when the list hits like a mat truck, boy, because of positive char, and the fact that he can't save points without the choir is pretty crazy.
Well, yeah, Sirena's been a bit of a hot foot. I know at the ATC, there was a lot of people playing Sirena double Judicator, you know, with Sevi-Zero. So, you know, applying positive charge with those big boys hurts a lot. On top of choir and everything else coming at you with Sevi-Zero, yeah. Ugh.
You know, I've tried the Serenia double adjudicator list, and it just seems like you just leave so much of her toolkit that she can't use, right? Because it's two jacks, right? And then, I mean, Rockwall is a great spell, and I think Environmental Resolve, right, taking it up to 22. But, and like you said, positive charge, I mean, I don't know if anything Adjudicator can't hit already, and it can't kill, right? So it's not going to go in and flop many rolls, but I guess you try to two-shot stuff instead of three-shot.
Right, but I think the biggest thing for her is the mastery of Rockwall, because, you know, with Rockwall, you deny a lot of models where they can place to try and get on the Judicator. I think that's the biggest thing about her, is that she offers this terrain denial piece that can stop other Colossals, maybe even some heavies, for me with a properly placed to get at the Colossals, where it gives the Judicators more time to either shoot up the model and kill it, or just be the first one to get the alpha in there, depending on the scenario.
Yeah, I've been working on my Rockwall placement a lot. That's the one thing that I'm just trying to get better at myself.
That okay, is a very challenging skill, man. A lot of people think it's just putting a wall out for cover, but honestly, the wall should be used for more than that. You know, limiting charges and things like that. Oh, yeah. So good luck on that one, T.
I think one of the greatest things I really kind of appreciate about Rockwall, especially if you see an army without Pathfinder, right? It's just like units and stuff that can't get over that wall. It's just like, oh, by the way, all my stuff that you thought that you could kill next turn, oh, you can't get to it.
Yeah, Rockwall's a douche like that when it comes to denial. I mean, it's better in some cases, bad in some, but I think the Rockwall universally always has an application no matter how you use it, which is why I love the spell. Like, I loved it since Baldur 2. I love it now. All right, guys. Any other thoughts? You guys want to talk about your lists? I know we'll talk about the second ones in our next podcast, but any other comments you want to talk about? Naresh, Malakas. You know what did? I know Pagani posted a couple Malakas lists that looked very interesting. I can't remember what they were.
Pagani
had some with Aya Truth.
Yeah, Pagani is a real big big advocate for Malakas and Creator's Might. I think he's fine in it. Pagani's list kind of really dials up the fire, right? And I just think for what I was trying to do with the list, I think his list is very good. For what I was trying to do with the list, I just think I wanted to be able to play it into a lot more things, right? And anytime there's Crucible Guard and there's things as a unifier, right? It just seems like to me it's slightly. I just want to go with something a little bit more diverse than just Dolt that's trying to get his feet in.
Yeah, because that could be a trap, right? Because they have to be, for Malakas' feet, does the enemy model have to be in his control range?
Yes, it has to be in his control range, which is 14. But Malakas is also only speed 5, right? So he's not super fast, right? And he's a mid-off caster. So he ain't got the greatest stats in the world, right? So it's not like you want him to get to kind of just really get up in there and just start fighting stuff. So, but I mean, I like Pagani's list a lot. I mean, he has a Revelator in it, which is kind of interesting.
You know, I super love the Revelator after I took it to the Sioux last year, the Southern Ontario Open with Fiora with Sevi 2. That was a lot of fun. So I definitely have some respect for the Revelator.
Yeah, I think it's missing this a few little things, but it'd be a great Colossal. It is a great Colossal.
So yeah, don't downplay the Revelator. It's good.
It's just that the Judicator's so much better. I mean, yes. That's the problem.
That's the problem.
Okay. First of all, let's be honest. The reason why people love the Judicator now is because the giant change to its reliquary.
Dude, it's not even a reliquary, right? I mean, if you take the reliquary completely, totally out of the system, right? The problem is this. The Judicator is 34 points compared to 37. The Judicator has a 10-inch spray. The same gun that's on the Revelator, right?
Is
range 10, but it leaves a 4-inch pie plate, but it only leaves the pie plate if it hits the enemy model.
That's fine.
Then the range on his guns, it only has one gun that it on his long range guns at range 14, same as the Judicator, but it has one shot that doesn't leave an AOE. So with the Judicator, you don't get 4 3-inch blasts, and with the Revelator, you get one shot. It's just the efficiency.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I can understand that. But I think what the Revelator brings outside of just the damage part is that it brings utility because the longer range guns remove stealth. He himself also has True Sight. So, you know, he helps fight against those cloud wall lists, you know, that try to protect themselves. You know, he's a aggressive model in that direction. Plus he has magical weapons, which can be important in the, you know, the mirror match. So I think he has his use. He may not be as aggressive or a little bit more utility, has more overall usage like the Judicator, but I feel like in those particular lists, he definitely can outshine the Judicator.
Yeah, I think if you build around him, there's some potential there. Granted, I don't think, like I said, right, I don't think he's a bad Colossal by no means, right? I just think he, in my opinion, he just needs a little bit of tooling just to bring him on in line with some of the other ones, right? He's just missing that efficiency piece, right? Where the Judicator is getting you this efficiency and he's just not. But I can see how there are some casters that can probably make him work. And Malakas is potentially one of them, right? But then again, right, you have him. He's also a Colossal where all his guns are typed. So all his guns are fire typed. So that way, if somebody is immune to fire, that dude is not shooting nothing off the table.
And that's fair. Yep. And it's one of those things where you got to be careful how you build the list. The same thing with, you know, Signar. We can't bring is playing like Nemo 3, and then your opponent is playing Wyrmwood and Kruger 2. Well, there's a Kruger 2. Guess I'm not dropping Nemo.
Yeah, and I mean, it'd be different if it was just like Kallus, if you had to worry about Kallus 2, right? Or like Horgel or and Troll, right? But it's not just those. Right now, you got Crucible Guard. It's an entire faction of dudes that take one less die damage. Or just flat out immune to it.
Oh, yeah, I was saying, like, either one less die or just flat out immune. So, that also is a bit of an uphill battle. So, I definitely agree with you.
So, as we approach the end of the podcast, what else you got, Isaiah?
Well, hopefully we're going to get a German League started up at my local game store probably the second week of May. I was hoping to do it this month, but work kind of threw a lot of rocks in my plans. So I'm trying to work around them, and the guys have been demanding a German League for like months. So I owe it to them. We're going to get things going, get things rolling. And I got a lot of cool prizes to give out, so I'm definitely ready for this German League. Damon, anything going on with you?
No, for me, it's honestly getting ready for the rest of the con. We do have an event on May the 18th at the Game Cave in Hermitage. There's an event in Birmingham. I think it's April the 27th that I plan on attending. Then M3, if I'm not mistaken, Terrence. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think that'd be the next one that you and I will be at.
July.
Then Gen Con, and then everything's about Nash Con. That, you know, this year we are a qualifier, a full-fledged qualifier. We're calling it the Cave Cup. So that's what's on my agenda.
All right. And then, of course, Terrence is getting ready for Kingdom Con.
Yep, Kingdom Con, just doing demos. Especially anybody listening, if you got any suggestions on how to build a meta, I'll gladly take anything. I've been doing demos at a couple of different stores here in the area, just trying to get the interest up. Slow grind, but I know it'll pay off in the end.
Yeah, same here. So you guys have any questions about that? I've been running stuff at my local store since 2008. So you guys have any questions about community questions, building it up, running demos, getting people's interest back in the game, which I feel like, you know, maybe right now some people's biggest thing with how certain things changed in PP. But the game is great, if not better than what it used to be. The models are great. The rule structure is tight. And it's a fantastic game to get into. So if you guys have any questions, also if you guys have any comments, concerns, or things you guys want us on the podcast to talk about, please let us know in our Facebook group. Shoot us an email. You know, we're more than willing to listen to all suggestions, guys. You guys are family to us. We want you guys to stay that way and tell us how you, you know, truly feel about Terrence's voice and, you know, the usual stuff.
Haters.
We love you. We promise. All right, guys. Well, with that, I think we've had a successful podcast. For all of our listeners, thanks for coming. We hope to keep you guys entertained, interest high, and please, we love your guys' support and energy. Thank you guys for everything. Have a great night, and see you guys on the final table.
See you guys on the final table.
Peace out.
Toodles.
This has been an episode of the Minority Report. Until next time, see you at the final table.